Two debates this week ahead of the May 15th primary. First, six GOP candidates jockeying for Idaho's open 1st Congressional District faced off Sunday. Each candidate promised to support the Trump agenda. Tuesday's final debate for Democratic candidates A.J. Belukoff and Paulette Jordan begged the question, how can a Democrat candidate win in a red state? Joining me to talk about that and many other issues that made headlines this week are Betsy Russell with the Spokesman Review, Scott McIntosh, editor of the Idaho Press Tribune, and Kimberly Crucey with the Boise Bureau of the Associated Press. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, off mic, let's just get right into this. We were talking about a mailer that came out throughout the state of Idaho. And I know, Kimberly, you've already written something about it this morning. Betsy, you did something on your blog. Let's talk about this mailer that came out. Kimberly, maybe start with you on this.
Yeah. So earlier this week, a lot of voters got a mailer called The Idahoan, and it is claiming to be just a regular newspaper with a bunch of endorsements for conservative lawmakers. If you took a look through it, it's hefty. It's 48 pages. You will see multiple grammar errors and factual errors. Democrats listed as Republicans, Republicans listed as Democrats. Wrong photos, as well as the wrong voting day. It tells people to get out and vote on May 8th. This has raised multiple questions about who is behind it. Mm-hmm. And why are they claiming that this is a newspaper this close to the election? Just earlier this morning, the Idaho Democratic Party has filed a complaint with the Secretary of State's office.
Right. And I have that. And I wanted to read a part of it because what it says to the Secretary of State is, as you are aware, several longstanding Idaho political operatives and organizations have sent a statewide political mailer titled The Idahoan directly to the residents of the state. It goes on and it says, we're writing you today in his capacity as legal counsel for the Idaho Democratic Party and request that your office immediately investigate the legal legitimacy of this political mailer. They say within 3 weeks of registering the Idahoan LLC, the Idahoan, a 43-page political campaign mailer, was directly mailed to a large percentage of Idaho households. And Betsy, you said you've heard from people even in North Idaho that have received this. So this has been
That's
a statewide mailer.
Absolutely. That's what we're hearing. And not only that, it is so large. It's the size of a community newspaper. It has two sections. It's in full color. This was a very, very expensive proposition to send this thing out statewide. The Idaho Secretary of State's office sends out a pamphlet to all voters in the state when there's a constitutional amendment on the ballot, and that's just a tiny little pamphlet of a few pages. That costs $200,000. This is many times what that was.
So we're talking big money spent on this as
well. Absolutely. And that's where this question comes in, because if there's an electioneering communication, they're under Idaho's sunshine laws, that has to be reported, and they need to disclose who funded it, who's behind it. And so the parties behind this particular mailer are claiming that they are a, quote, newspaper, one that will only come out right before elections and just
well,
happen
that's
to
a special newspaper.
Make a whole lot of endorsements and press a certain agenda. And so they have maintained to the Secretary of State's office that they are exempt from all of the campaign finance reporting requirements, because why, they have nothing to do with elections. They're just a newspaper. Can there be a newspaper that only comes out right before election and only deals with elections?
And comes out, what, once every 4 years?
It's never come out before.
Well,
this is the first time.
It's the inaugural issue.
And interestingly, the original corporate filing with the Secretary of State's office for the name The Idahoan, to do business as The Idahoan, was filed by Wayne Hoffman, who is the president of the Idaho Freedom Foundation, back in 2007. And then about 3 weeks ago, Wayne filed a form with the state revoking his license to use that name and do business under that name. And on the very same day, April 19th, Patrick Malloy, whose name is on this mailer, along with that of Lou Esposito, who is a campaign consultant, filed a new form saying he was going to use that name. So it seems, and there are ads
but
throughout the publication.
Wayne's organization, Idaho Freedom Foundation, had an ad in
yes.
this Idahoan. As well,
and
as
there
as
weren't many
others.
Ads, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, so
there were multiple ads for the Idaho Freedom Foundation.
Right.
There were multiple ads for Idaho Chooses Life. Wayne actually told the Idaho Statesman, I didn't give any money to this. But, of course, Wayne's organization doesn't give money. It solicits and receives money. And so what are the ties between the Idaho Freedom Foundation and this mailer? There certainly are some ties. They may be indirect. Lou Esposito has a history of doing lots of last-minute campaign stuff, shenanigans, shifting things around among different PACs and so forth. And he clearly is the consultant hired to handle this one as well.
So with the Democrats coming out with this letter to Lawrence Denny, to the Secretary of State, do they have a legitimate argument from what you've been able to uncover with this? And I mean, and this just came out, you know, and we're talking this week. Scott, you got one at your house even.
Yeah, I did in Boise. Yeah, we got one at our house.
I don't know if that'll be for the Secretary of State's office, you know,
right,
for them. And I think is one thing that's important to note is that the Idaho Democratic Party is asking actually Denny to recuse himself from this investigation because of his connections to Lou Esposito and the others involved Lou has raised money for Denny in the past. And so they are just saying that connection is just too close. You can't investigate someone who, you know, that you've had close ties
so
with.
So you need to investigate it, but we want you to recuse it.
Right.
I'm speaking with Betsy Russell with the Spokesman Review, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press Tribune, and Kimberly Crusey with the Associated Press. If you have questions or comments for our panel, please contact us. You can do that with email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. You can tweet us, KBSX 91.5, or go to Facebook, Boise State Public Radio. Let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about an email from Paulette Jordan that came out this week. And the title said it came from the Idaho Democratic Party. A little bit of a snafu there, if that's a correct term. Who would like to take that one?
I'll start. The from line in the email said Idaho Dems, parentheses, via Paulette Jordan campaign. And Idaho Dems is the very line that the party uses on their communications. And so there was concern from some in the Democratic Party that it was a fundraising email for Paulette Jordan's campaign. There was concern that the Jordan campaign was somehow trying to suggest it was from the party itself. And the party felt compelled to put out multiple statements saying, no, it wasn't
us. At least
us.
Three.
We maintain neutrality in primary elections. We're not endorsing either candidate, Paulette Jordan or A.J. Belukov.
The party itself is not endorsing because there have been... I thought Democrats who have come out in support of a certain candidate.
So the party itself has a policy that they don't weigh in on the primary.
Correct.
They will throw in their support after whoever is the nominee. However, Democratic lawmakers there has been a turf war over who gets endorsements. And 12 right now of Idaho's 16 Democratic lawmakers have thrown their support behind Belukov. Four of those came after this email snafu came up. That seemed to be almost a trigger of just saying, okay, we were going to maybe stay neutral on this because there is a lot of concern about making sure that there isn't a party division. But they also somehow this dust up became pretty a big deal for some lawmakers, and they decided to throw their support behind.
And let's talk about Paulette's response when all of this came out, because she responded, right, Kimberly?
She did. I asked her campaign to see what happened here, and her response was, I did not mean to mislead anyone, but honestly, my opponent has been doing the same thing, and we should just move on. You know, there are bigger fish to fry when we're talking about healthcare, immigration, etc. But the Belukov campaign has bristled underneath that accusation, saying that the mailer that they are saying that Paulette's camp is looking to is a mailer. It's a pretty big mailer that says in bold letters, Idaho Democrat, and it's a picture of Belukov. I think you, the voter, will have to decide whether or not he is. It seemed to me that Belukov was identifying himself as a Democrat. But there are, you know, if you are getting prickly over some accusations over a wrong email being used, I could see how you could look at that mailer and be like, hey, what about him?
And how was the debate between the two of them this week? Kimberly, you were there, correct?
I covered it.
You covered
it. If you had been following along with all the other debates and forums that they've been at, I think you might not have learned anything terribly new. However, if you are still an undecided voter, I think it's very important to be following along. And they talked about they were pretty cordial. They there's not a lot of policy differences between these Democratic candidates. The only time that it kind of, we guess we'll call light fireworks, was over the wage gap. Bluecoff has made this a top priority of trying to reduce the wage gap here in Idaho. And Paulette came out swinging and said, "You are out of touch. And I'm a woman of color, and I know exactly what the wage gap means."
That was particularly timely because A.J. Bluecoff has just come out with a new campaign ad that's quite hard-hitting about the wage gap for women in Idaho, suggesting that our daughters are not being paid as much as our sons and that we need to do something about this as a state. And where they really differed was, how do you do it? How do you accomplish it?
And then they talked about marijuana use, though. That is another topic that they disagree on. Can we talk a little bit about that and where they stand?
Well, I thought that the biggest division between the two of them really came out in their earlier debate on Idaho Public Television over marijuana legalization, and it was stark. Paulette Jordan said flat out she's for full legalization.
Medicinal.
She said
medicinal.
Well, she repeatedly said that she was for full legalization so we could raise millions in Idaho as they have in our surrounding states, including Washington. She has in the past favored decriminalization and medical marijuana, but she has in that debate came out for full legalization, and she has repeated that since then.
I guess I must be misremembering, because at least during KTV's debate, she did say medicinal and that but she's fine with recreational use, but she will be pushing for medicinal legalization.
She did kind of go back and forth, it seemed like, in the KTV debate.
I would agree that she's gone back and forth in that debate, but A.J. Bluecoff has not. What is his stance on that?
That's true. A.J. Bluecoff is certainly against both decriminalization and medical marijuana at this point, although he has opened the door to considering medical marijuana should there be more FDA studies and real close examination of side effects and dosages and so on. In other words, legalization through the federal level, through the existing pharmaceutical procedures. I did think, though, that he varied a bit in the KTVB debate from his position at the earlier Idaho Public TV debate, whereas at the Idaho Public TV debate, he was very clear, I'm against the use of this substance. This is not something I support. At the KTVB debate, he seemed more open to opening the door perhaps to medical marijuana in Idaho.
A $165 million bond is on the ballot for Nampa's ongoing wastewater upgrades. Those upgrades are needed to keep the city of Nampa compliant with new federal standards. If the upgrades don't happen, Nampa could face fines. An announcement was made this week that commissioners are also considering spending $11 million to build temporary structures in Canyon County's jail parking lot to house female inmates. Joining me to talk about these issues and other regional issues facing the state right now are our panel of area journalists, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press Tribune, Betsy Russell with the Spokesman Review, and Kimberly Crucey with the Associated Press. Once again, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Scott, I want to bring you into the conversation. Talk a little bit about this $165 million bond. Can you explain what it is exactly and why the city is asking for this?
Yeah, and this is a pretty big deal. You know, I know a lot of attention is given to the state and the governor's race and all that, but this is a lot of money, $165 million decision that Nampa voters are going to be faced with on May 15th. And this is for upgrades. It's a project to upgrade the city's wastewater treatment system to meet EPA federal regulations for phosphorus. And so the vote itself is not on the project itself, whether to do the project or not. City officials say that the project will go on no matter what.
So no matter what, they have to do this because they have to meet these EPA guidelines.
Correct. So what the vote is going to be is on how to pay for it. And what the city says that if the bond passes, they will use that bond money to fund the project. And then they will pay back that bond over 30 years with sewer bills, the money generated from the monthly sewer bills. And by doing that, they will be able to gradually increase sewer bills by 17% per year over the next 30 years. Now, that seems like a lot, but that is gradual compared to if the bond fails, they are going to have to pay for the project out of pocket. And so they are talking about increasing sewer bills by 93% from $27 to $47 per month. And so they really want to make it clear to the voters that that's the decision. That, you know, they want to make sure that voters don't say, oh, well, I'm going to vote no because I don't want to do this project. That's not how it's going to work. If they vote no, the sewer bills are going to go up to $47 a month starting in fiscal year 2019.
What has been the buzz in the city? People you have talked to about this, because your paper has been covering this.
Yeah, and there is a, you know, last year we did a story. We asked city officials, said, you know, now that we have a new president and Scott Pruitt is head of the EPA, do you think that it's at all possible that the EPA might come back and say, you don't have to fulfill this regulation? And at the time, they said, no, it's just, you know, this is something that they've been studying for the past 10 years and they knew this was coming. And really.
So are they really up against a deadline here?
They are, you know, to get these upgrades in place. They have to get started now. And so that's why they put the bond on the ballot now. And otherwise, they do face $100,000 a day fines. And so the buzz right now in the city, there's a group of concerned citizens and there are some city officials who are trying to lobby the EPA to either get a waiver on these regulations or to put the decision off to see if they can do a workaround. And so that's gaining traction. But whether that happens by May 15th, it probably not. So the voters are going to have to make this decision on May 15th whether to approve this bond.
And I am assuming that every city in Idaho has had to look at their wastewater management and comply with these.
Absolutely. And some have already been a little bit ahead of the curve. And I know that Boise, the city of Boise, built the Dixie Drain project out near Parma to mitigate this issue. So this is a problem that all the cities are facing in Idaho.
Let's talk now about this idea of building temporary structures, and we're talking $11 million worth, in the Canyon County's jail. Is it the Canyon County Jail's parking lot in Caldwell?
Yep.
To house female inmates.
Correct. Yeah. This was a surprise to us. This is a proposal to build 28 temporary units, and these are described as steel trailers. So I'm kind of envisioning.
So wait, 28 different trailers in the parking lot.
Correct.
That are housing inmates.
That they want to build to house up to 122 female inmates. The county officials say that this is the biggest problem that they're facing is the growing population of female inmates, and so. They have some women housed in the jail itself. They have some housed in an annex, and they have some women out of county in other jails, which cost them
In Ada County, you see that I mean, they have Canyon County inmates in Ada County.
Yeah, and of course, this is all the backdrop of all this is that the county is considering building a new jail. They have a report that says that it's going to cost $200 million to build a new jail. Three bond attempts to build a new jail have failed in the past 10 years in Canyon County. And the prospect of passing a $200 million bond right now is probably zero to none.
So where in the world are they going to get $11 million?
So they think that they would be able to find money in the budget to pay for these trailers.
And how have people responded to this? I'm just imagining pulling into the parking lot in Caldwell at the county courthouse, because you do county business there, right? And there's structures with inmates, and it's just a very odd idea, it seems.
Yeah, and we're going to find out. You know, the county is scheduling a meeting with the city of Caldwell because they would need to get approval from the city officials to make this happen. And so I think we're going to find out what the public thinks about it when they have that meeting.
And then they'll go from there to see what happens. But it's a real issue. I mean, if they're trying to get a new jail and then they have to do this, we have an influx of inmates.
Right. And they can't house the inmates that they've got now. And it's a real problem. And they're going to have to come up with some sort of long-term solution to this.
And people may not be aware that if you house an inmate out of county, the county pays for that inmate to be housed somewhere else. And I believe it usually costs more money than housing them within the county.
Absolutely. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's a significant amount of money.
So it may make more sense to do something like this. So we will see what happens.
Correct.
I am speaking with Betsy Russell. She's a political reporter with the Spokesman Review, as well as Scott McIntosh, editor of the Idaho Press Tribune, Kimberly Crusi with the Associated Press. And I want to talk now, and I know it seems like forever, but it was only, what, 5 days ago. Let's talk a little bit about the first congressional debate with the Republicans. Betsy, you were there, and some interesting phrases came out during that debate.
Some interesting phrases.
We've got the girl with the gun on my last breath. Talk a little bit about that for people who may not have
sure
listened in.
So this is a race in which there are seven Republicans on the ballot, and six of them were there debating. And how are candidates to distinguish themselves when there are six or seven, people jostling to run for this seat? And so they were all trying to distinguish themselves from one another. Now, Representative Christy Perry from Nampa is the only woman among the group, and she happens to own a gun shop. So throughout the campaign, she has been calling herself, referring to herself as the girl with all the guns. So that was one way.
That's a good way to describe yourself.
And then Russ Fulcher, who is a former state senator and has run for governor before, talked about his international business experience and how he went all over the world on behalf of Micron and another electronics company, and also served in the state Senate. David Leroy, the former lieutenant governor and attorney general, but that was quite a long time ago, and he's just now returning to politics after a long absence.
He wants to be an elder statesman.
Well, and so Christy Perry kind of came out slugging on that and said that, essentially – his time was long ago, and that he was
basically
doing this
called him old
with his last breath. And he had a line in that debate where he said that he thinks what Congress needs right now is not another international businessman, not even a girl with a gun, but a little bit of gray hair and perhaps a touch of statesmanship. And then, of course, Representative Luke Malik from Coeur d'Alene got right into it, saying, "What about those with no hair?
Because he's bald."
But there was also quite a bit of exchange on issues and also on President Trump. Boy, they were really competing to see who could be the Trumpiest.
Right. And then there was the statement from Russ Fulcher, which seemed to be fairly shocking in the sense that we're talking about with the Mueller investigation and basically him saying, I haven't paid attention to it. How did that go over in the room?
The other candidates jumped all over him. Luke Malik said he was shocked that Senator Fulcher hadn't been paying attention to the Mueller investigation. And David Leroy said this is not just, as Fulcher had termed it, propaganda or a distraction. This is a potential constitutional crisis about the role of Congress and the president. And that it behooves Idaho's representatives
to pay
attention.
Well, the two attorneys, they made a big case about this is a constitutional crisis. And so they were kind of quick to kind of point out that, I guess, as attorneys, they would never pay attention to this.
And it's interesting because, Betsy, I think you're right. With seven candidates and they are all in the fray, who is in the lead? I've got 45 seconds.
If you look at the money, Russ Fulcher's got by far the most, and the Club for Growth is running ads for him. David Leroy has the second most, and Luke Malik is in third.
Well, we will find out on May 15th. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press Tribune, Kimberly Crusi with the Associated Press, and Betsy Russell with the Spokesman Review for one more day. Betsy will be joining the Idaho Press Tribune come Monday. Congratulations,
Yay!
Betsy, on that.
Yay!